On this episode of Still Loading, Faithful Dungeons & Dragons. Hello everyone and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. We are continuing the summer of PlayStation 2. I am your host Josh Koval, the host of Still Loading. And with me today to discuss the next game in this summer PS2 series, I have two of my best childhood friends, Micah.
Hi.
And Jamie.
Hey.
You may remember Jamie from the Final Fantasy 6/3 episode almost like 2-3 years ago now. That's still one of the more popular episodes.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Game. It's a good game, yeah.
So, as with all my guests, I always like to ask, since it is the summer of PS2, what got you into the PlayStation 2? What's some of your earliest memories with the PlayStation 2? And then we'll go into the game we're going to talk about today.
So, PS2 was one of the first systems that, or one of the last systems I got, I got the system and 5 games right away. I had all the games I wanted to play. First one, though, was Final Fantasy X. It's still, to this day, one of my favorite games in the world. And I still play it to this day. I love it. It's just...
Did you get the HD remake for PS3?
I did, and I beat the heck out of that, too.
I still remember when... So, all of us, we used to be part of, like, this, like, friend group that we called Pizza Tuesday.
Oh, friends.
Right.
That was awesome.
And there is one night, I still remember this, we walked around the entirety of our town at, like, fucking 3 in the morning. It was, like, from midnight... to like 4 a.m.
Was that to go to the
like
diner?
That. No, because this was all in... wasn't anywhere near a diner.
That's another long night walk.
It was. And we spent at least a solid hour of it gushing about Final Fantasy X and 6 and 7... Well, not 6, sorry. 7, 8, and 9 as well, but mainly 10.
Because mm-hmm.
I think... No, I hadn't just played it. I beat it a while before that. But, I mean, that's been almost 10 years now. That's crazy
it's
to think
about.
Time. It's been a while. So, Jamie, what's one of your earliest memories?
My earliest memories with the PS2 was a solo game. Shadows of Memory. It was a terrible time-traveling game in which you had to unmask your own killer. And it was supposed to boast multiple endings. Every time I played it through, it was the same ending. It was a terrible
game. Did you make the same decisions every time?
Probably, because there was hardly any other decisions. You had to look around the map for new clues and stuff, and it was an open walking around streets with nothing happening. It was terrible.
The game wasn't interesting enough to
warrant. No, it was terrible.
Actually, yeah,
but I played it, and I beat it, and it counts. But Shattered Soldier, Contra, mm-hmm. Shattered Soldier, that's probably one of the best PS2
games.
What
a time sink.
What a time sink. It's a two-player game. Mike and I played it, and I never beat it with him. He was...
Hey. Just because you had to carry me the whole time doesn't mean it wasn't fun.
The entire time. I only recently beat it about a year ago, playing it on
by
single
yourself.
Player,
okay.
By myself,
absolutely.
Learning how to, because nobody would want to play it. Micah didn't want to play with me anymore.
That's
fine.
The game sucks.
It was a great game. It's a fantastic game. But that game we played for probably a good year or two, memorizing every level, every move,
yeah.
And then we just quit.
It's not a game you can go into and just explore. It's a game you have to go in methodically and just memorize. This guy goes here, okay, go here, go this, go
yeah,
there,
like,
go.
It's like
it sounds map
awful.
It out.
Why would you like that?
I know, right?
I'm sitting here with a wall of your Nintendo and Super Nintendo games that require you to do that in every game, and that's what was
no,
so great about it. You
no,
got to memorize
not
the level.
Everyone.
Not every game.
Not everyone.
No, not everyone, but you had to memorize the level. You had to know what you were doing. That was great.
So, I've gathered you both today to talk about Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. That is the first game in the Baldur's Gate, or not the Baldur's Gate series. The original Baldur's Gate was for PC, I believe, correct?
Yeah, it was
yeah.
like a really, really old
point,
strategy kind of thing.
Point click. Point click, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and like the original Baldur's Gate, this is very much authentic to Dungeons & Dragons, hence why the little tagline in the beginning. It's a very... home, like very authentic. It's just authentic.
I believe it was made
could.
in congregation with Dungeons and Dragons to
well,
make it as accurate as possible.
Yeah, because like
it's a Wizard of the Coast.
It's
yeah.
Wizards
of
the
Coast.
Yeah, the people who run it. So the game was released in North America on December 4th, 2001, for the PlayStation and 2. PlayStation
and
2. I don't know why I said it that way. For the PlayStation 2, it was released also on the Xbox and the GameCube, and actually probably the weirdest one on here, the Game Boy Advance. Really? There was a port of it for the Game Boy Advance. I had no idea. That was released in 2004.
That's terrible, but that's all right. We played it on the best console, so.
Yes, and it was developed by Snowblind Studios, published by Black Isle Studios, and I think Black Isle did most of the I think they did the original Baldur's Gate. I think they developed it at least. I don't see the director on here, but the lead designers, not that these names, I don't know any of these guys, but I always think it's good to give credit where credit's due. Chris Avalon, Urza Dreisbach, and Ryan Geithman. I hope I pronounced any of those correctly. But yeah, so Baldur's Gate. This game was such a... It's a good hack and slash, but it's not like God of War hack and slash. It's a dungeon crawler, very much in the Diablo 2 vein, I would say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it just... It's just a mindless game. You don't really have to think about it too much. You just go through and just go.
After watching you guys play.
So it's a mindless game because you always died a lot. Well. You watched me play. So.
All right, it worked for me.
I played this through on easy, and I was very proud of myself because all the websites say it's like a 13-hour game. I beat it in like 6. So
on
like,
easy.
Shut up.
Let's highlight that.
I said it was on easy. I think I did. If you not, did. It was just on easy. Fuck you guys. No, but so it even so, like, I wasn't expecting it to beat it that much quicker, even on easy. But easy's laughable. It's so easy. But you were saying how normal and the hard difficulty, like normal, escalates so much.
It
more.
It scales quite a bit. Yeah, just with even just normal, you're very likely to die. I mean, yes, I was carried a little bit by Jamie, but no, still, it's a harder game than you think it is.
Very hard. And that's why two player is so good on it too. Like you can play
up to
player.
4, right?
No, it's only two player because they have 3 characters for you to select.
But could you play up to 3?
I think you'd do 3 if you had the adapter. It would
multi tap. I don't know. I don't have a multi tap.
I thought it was just 2. But they have 3 characters, and really, I mean, I don't know if it's the real meta, but if you ask me, there's the dwarf fighter, straight physical,
most useful,
right? Most useful. And that's probably what that's not what you'll probably play in single player. What you'll probably play in single player is the human ranger because he has melee and range distance.
Oh, I played the human fighter, but also that was easy.
That's true. I mean, you can do the fighter too. You just get swarmed real fast in single player.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you gotta swing hard.
And then the last one is like the mage, your typical mage, you know, glass cannon, which you don't play in single player. I mean, of course you can.
You can if you want, but it's a lot of kiting.
You have to attack and run.
You can only play her if you don't really like yourself.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I think what you're supposed to do is the human ranger single player, get melee, get distance, and then for two player you get the heavy tank dwarf, and then you get somebody as like the heavy ranged.
As the range, yeah.
And then you can do either the ranger or the mage. We skip the mage. That's too much work.
Have you guys tried the mage at all? I actually did not try it. So
we tried her, I think, at first. Yeah. But for one, she's so mana reliant. You just need to have an IV of mana potions going in.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like every mage, and especially in this one, it's like the wind blows at you and you fall over.
Yeah.
Now, what's cool about this game is that, like I said, it's very authentic to Dungeons & Dragons, where when you get new weapons and you get new things, it feels very much like you're playing D&D. I believe it was based off version 3.0. This game was based off of D&D version 3.0.
Probably. It has like a feat system to it where you dump your points as like kind of like feats that can increase. Yeah.
And every 4 or 5 levels, you can pick a stat to upgrade, whether it's your strength, dexterity, intelligence,
which is
wisdom.
In line with 3.5 D&D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool to see how much you could customize your character. Like when I played on the easy one, one of my favorite abilities was the ability to increase your attack rate. Mm-hmm. And so by the end of it, even though I was like had a bastard sword, so you had to hold, like not dual wield it, you had to use both hands. You couldn't like just one arm that thing. He was swinging so fucking fast. It was a joke. It just mowed over everything. It was great.
Absolutely. We've kind of learned that in that game, there's a kind of a set path you have to take almost, or you're just not going to win on normal or hard. If you deviate from that, you're just in trouble.
Really? What path? Like how? What was
it's
your
attack speed that you had? That you had.
That's the one you have to really just go for.
Yeah, well, just
makes
just,
sense.
Well, our hit combo. Things harder and faster.
Our combo, yeah, work, combo where work. I just well had a too. Shield, and the shield in that game just blocks every hit as long as.
So
it's
you
straightforward.
Focused on a lot on like the health upgrades because I think there's one that increases your. Strength that helps, not your strength, but your
mana,
your
health regen is
your
a big
health
one
regen,
too.
Your total health, and there's also one which isn't helpful in combat, but it is helpful for just carrying shit that increases your weight capacity.
No, that becomes
carry.
More. Well, it's not super critical. Because
I just
you
sell
can
shit
come,
all because you can
go,
you can recall back
go,
to town,
yeah.
And like it said that I thought they give you these recall potions, but I never used them.
No, I don't think we used them a couple times when we just needed to get out of there, but it wasn't really a big part of the game for us.
Yeah, the game throws a ton of them at you in the first act. The second act, you start kind of using them.
I would recall all the time, and it wouldn't use up one of the recall potions.
Maybe that's easy. But it definitely used it in normal.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah, it definitely took it off of them in normal.
Yeah, those things are a nice little penny in the beginning of the game, too. Mm-hmm. I think like I don't know if it's 100 gold a pop. No, and you can sell them for.
Oh, were they more? Okay, penny. Yeah.
Because they're.
Arrows actually sell for a lot. Too.
I need those. Yeah. Don't sell them.
Yeah, exactly.
On single player, on easy mode.
That's the only reason you carry capacity for.
Listen, as soon as the ranger goes melee, it's over. I might as well just lay over and die.
Yeah, that's the strategy we had. I go front line with sword and board. Everything. And then block and delay, and then he stands back there with explosive arrows. And it works in two player. It's great. It's a great strategy.
Oh, yeah, explosive
arrows. You can still lose very easy. But
as we did,
yeah,
a lot,
many times,
yeah.
And you also get different abilities. I would assume it changes from class to class. But as a fighter, I noticed you got three like unique kind of attack abilities, like bull rush, as well as there's a whirlwind ability, which didn't seem all that useful to me.
No.
There was another one. It was like a thunder stomp type of thing. It seemed like you had it was dumb because like the bull rush you can use no matter what, but the other abilities. Like the spin attack or the weird, like, I think it was like a hammer slam type of thing. Like you would like almost like a Thor's hammer, you would jump up and slam it down, but you could only use it with specifically a hammer. And then the whirlwind thing you could specifically only use with a hammer or an axe. So your sword was useless at that point.
Yeah,
and
really.
It was kind of dumb. It's kind of dumb to have those abilities that are weapon specific instead of just. Which class is, specific?
It's actually not terrible because the merchant system works really well where they have all those weapons there. It's like the plus ones, the plus two, so it's easy to get. The big problem there is that as a fighter, because that's what I rolled, I don't do two hands because you have to start timing your blocks. Where the shield, you can just hold up against numerous enemies, especially ranged enemies. You just hold your shield up. But I never use two hands weapons because that's just...
Oh, it makes sense for your guy's strategy. It wouldn't work at all.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of parts in the game where they just rain darts on you in like act three.
The poison darts are so fun.
Oh, yeah. You just have to have a shield just to block and then move forward an inch.
You can't see where they're coming from. You can't. You have no idea because the camera's.
Even when it wasn't the poison darts, even just the regular archers were impossible to see where they're coming from. I remember specifically, I think it's in Act 1, where it's just. You go into it and you just see a wall of arrows shooting at you. And when you walk up, they're in a.
That's the first.
It's not
spot.
Like you can't. The way you have to fight them is that they will always be shooting at you in a line.
Yep.
It's not like you can go somewhere and take a few out and hide. Mm-hmm. You're wide open the entire time.
So that was the first major fight in the game. And it actually was really cool because it taught you how to use your environment. Because if I remember right, there was a box barrier. And you could actually jump up and push the boxes off the barrier, and you could push the box forward to kind of block those arrows. We tried doing that where we'd follow through. Like, I'd push it, Mike would stand behind me, but, like, it was a tight shield.
They take out the boxes eventually, so you just got to make a break for it at one point.
Yeah,
but you could use it temporarily to, like...
Yeah, you could push it forward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't, once again, play it on easy. Didn't have to use any of the environmental stuff that helps you. I did use those ignite barrels. There are these cool explosive barrels that you can get, or that are, well, you don't get. They're just lying around the dungeons everywhere. And I didn't know... Because when you're just breaking shit, you don't notice them at first. And so you swing into them and they explode and they kill you.
Of course.
Yep. I did that a lot.
Yeah. I did that a lot.
Too many times.
But there's a lot of cool environmental things, like you were saying. I didn't even think about using the boxes to do that because I'm like, okay, why are these here? Let me just jump over them. Instead of when I thought that, why are these here? Maybe I should have really tried to figure out why they were actually there instead of being like, fuck this. I just ran over it.
I think that's the fun part of D&D also, because you can, in actual D&D, the tabletop game, you can use whatever you want around you, and they tried to make that faithful to the game.
Or...
I didn't even
bull rush your way through.
Always bull
See,
rush.
I didn't even think about this. You guys were the perfect guest for this because Jamie here is the DM for whenever I usually play, or from when Mike and I usually play D&D. I tried DMing once and I didn't really enjoy it.
It's not that much fun. I like to play.
No.
Somebody has to do it.
But you actually enjoy it, right?
I do. I've been doing it for like,
10 almost, years, 15 years?
Yeah, somewhere in between there. It's crazy. It's I've only time. Actually played the game twice now. But yeah, I DM'd the entire time. Only played twice. It's crazy. So if any of you guys want to, try again,
Yeah, I'd be down always.
Nah, I'll get around to it. Yeah, you're right, though, because especially when our group plays D&D, we fucking do the dumbest shit. I remember, so I was at a convention with one of our friends, and we were talking about old D&D stories, and I still remember when we were playing the Sunless Citadel.
Classic.
And, the classic 3.5 campaign, and... Who's the dude? Meebo.
Yep.
Meebo. Is that actually his name?
Meebo. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you just gave him that name.
That was it. It's Meebo.
Is he a goblin or is he a...
He's a kobold.
He's a kobold, yep. But he's a friendly kobold.
Yeah, he's the first NPC you encounter in
the
game.
And we kill him every time.
Almost every time.
Because we forget about him.
Yep. Yeah, unless there's somebody with a little conscious on the we team go, that's well, playing we go the first through, time.
The first time we ever played it... I didn't know. That was the first time playing. The first time we ever played it... We walk into this room, he gets up and starts screaming at us. We're like, oh, it's hostile, and killed it. And we found out later...
It's crying at you.
You said screaming.
It's crying at you.
He was not... When you described it, he was not crying.
And that's how
he
we always yelling break storylines.
That's fine. I think I've lost at least two or three parties to that room before, where everybody wants to kill him. I had one... I played with my nephew and my brother-in-law once. There's the two of them, and... The brother-in-law decided that he knew how to fight monsters. First time playing D&D. He's like, no, we got to kill it right away. It doesn't matter what it is. He rolled a one. He missed it. It walked away. He swung at it again. He missed it. And it got to the third room and it summoned all the guards. And then they just got rolled over by 10 kobolds. Yeah. And then I can tell you, my nephew wasn't a fan of my
That's brother-in-law amazing.
That day. Yeah. I've lost a couple groups because I get too anxious about it.
He rolled two ones?
Yeah. No, it was terrible. It was hilarious. He was so angry. Just having a great time.
You can't, that's the best part about it, is, you can't...
You can't be mad. It's all random.
It's yep. all random, exactly.
People will get mad anyway. But anyway.
But no, you're right, because the fact that you can just kind of choose... The fact that they gave you even some semblance of choice of how to use things in your environment is pretty cool. Mm.
And the damage is actually the same way, speaking of the dice, because all the weapons do... a floor to a ceiling, so it's not like you're doing constant damage. You could do well, you could do badly. It just all matters.
And then
how
you also
goes.
Get weapons with pluses on it. You know, plus one daggers, plus two swords, stuff like that.
Yep.
Plus two sets of armor. I think I've gotten up to plus four or six in that.
I think it's seven or six is the highest. I think.
I can't
yeah.
remember anymore.
I think
it was pretty high though.
Yeah.
Just some funny things since we're still talking about the gameplay. Some things that they had to make. Some things they had to. Do to make it play on the Game Boy Advance, some things they had to take out of it. There is no choice as to the playable character. Instead, only a human male is playable, although his class can be chosen from the three available: fighter, wizard, or archer.
Oh, no boobies?
no
What's
boobies.
The point?
After the completion of the game, a new class, Elven Fighter, becomes available.
Who? Let's stop right there and talk about Legolas. Whoever wants to be an Elven Fighter. Nobody.
I don't know. That'd be fun.
Mean Elven Archer?
If I recall, Josh played an Elven Archer who was a fighter, so...
Oh, no. Well, Josh played Archer
my problem was,
melee.
One, that was an option for the version, so it was not unheard of. Two,
stand by it.
Well,
defend your position.
I'm going to half stand by. I'm going to half defend myself, because the first part, I don't think making an Elven Fighter, Ranger, or whatever was dumb. I think the way I played it was dumb because instead of going after all the little small peons, since I'm supposed to be fast and light, I went after the big dudes every time. And all the tanks would go after the small peons.
Yes.
You mistook your small character for a tank, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I was just being dumb. So that's why I'm on the edge. I'm on the ledge there. I'm one foot on, one foot off.
Fair enough.
Then upon completion of the game, players cannot import a character to play through the story again. They must start a new game. So it seems like there's New Game Plus on the PS2, and you couldn't do that in PS1.
Oh, man.
Or on Game Boy Advance,
play New Game Plus, then.
Let's be honest.
There is no
that.
Co-op mode, which is not... You know what? There should have been a co-op mode. You have
the
Link.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. Why would they do that? The town of Baldur's Gate is much more interactive. The players are able to talk to NPCs, enter houses, and use weapons in the town, which you could not do in the PS2 version.
Yeah, but...
And all the towns...
Yeah, they keep you lawful good. It's lame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's actually kind of a cool thing that they changed, because it was kind of lame that the only people you could talk to were in the at least in
Baldur's Gate, that had a quest for you.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. You could go overworld, like you could walk outside the tavern, and it was just raining with people out there. Yeah. Which, by the way, I thought was silly because the game opens up with you entering Baldur's Gate to an empty street, and then you get mugged because there's nobody around. And then the second you come conscious and you walk outside, it's still the middle of the night, but there's dozens of people walking around out there.
Where were they when you're getting mugged?
Yeah, what's
not
that?
Not helping, that's for sure.
The neighborhood watch.
That, the fact, and also the fact that you, the person, we'll kind of do this when we get into the story. One of the people that mugs you is like the second in command. He's the commander of all the bad guys. He's not like the supreme leader, which you find out later is a...
He's the leader of the Thieves Guild.
He's the leader of the Thieves Guild.
He reports up to a beholder.
That's it. I was trying to think of the monster, a beholder. Those things are fucking terrifying looking.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. They did well. They did it really well in this game. I liked what they did. Yeah.
They're hard as hell.
It was hard.
No, it was
and there's easy. I don't even think I could like block.
Yeah, it was easy for you, wasn't it? It was at least normal for us.
There are various new side quests in the Game Boy Advance version. Players cannot jump. Recall potions.
That's disappointing.
Recall potions, which allow the player to teleport back to town to sell wares, and then back to where the dungeon, back to where they were in the dungeon, are not available.
Well, I'm out then.
The ability to save the game is present at all times through the pause menu. And
that's what you get for having a single player game. This game, I feel like Dark Alliance excelled because it was a really great couch co-op. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah. Like single player is great and it's fun and definitely easier because
it was meant to have a friend with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you have to fight for gold from each other, which is always fun. But single player, you get all the gold.
You
play through.
Diablo
it's great
too, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But this one did really well two player. Mm-hmm. And also as a comment, jumping and spinning in circles is how you kill time. You remove that aspect from the game, half the game's gone.
I mean, if it's a single player though, it's like not. Yeah, I guess.
Well, you got to wait for health to regen. What do you do? Jump and spin circles.
And then the final thing that was different, at least according to Wikipedia, I know I'm such a professional researcher. The GBA version lacks the experience meter from the console version, so you have to actually go in and check on your stats to see how much experience you had left until you could level.
That's not a big loss then.
Details.
No. Yeah. But I thought that was kind of interesting that there was a GBA port of it, and it was not insanely different, but different enough that it was surprising.
Yeah, it's really weird they released it. It seems like not a Game Boy Advance type game.
No.
So before we move on to the story, any other comments on the gameplay or anything like that?
I don't know. Gameplay was pretty sturdy the whole time.
For a PS2 top down game, it actually played really well. It wasn't too clunky. It wasn't too bad.
No, it actually played really well. You could run away pretty easy. You could actually dodge ranged projectiles to a degree.
Walk away from them.
Yeah, and there was a lot.
They were good at those enemies are good at leading you.
Yeah, I mean, the sharpshooters, man.
Yeah,
they. I noticed a number of times I'd be running and they would shoot exactly to where I was going. And thankfully they give you the projectiles move slow enough that you can see it and you can dart back if you're paying attention.
They all stack points in archery.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
And I'll tell you what though, as far as like, cause I was always front line, they were really good on their animations because you had to like wait for them to wind up their attack and then you could block. Especially if you had like a two hand, you had to time the attacks better than just hold a shield up. Like you could actually watch them time the block. Block the attack and counter attack, and you actually really watch it. So the mechanics were pretty solid all the way through. The only thing that sucked is that they hit real hard. Mm-hmm. So you actually had to be good at the game. Really pay attention to.
Surprisingly enough, though, even on easy, there were a couple moments where you had playing easy by yourself was fine. There were a couple moments where I had to actually run away because they would just swarm you much. Especially like when you're swarmed on by a bunch of enemies all at once, and then there's also ranged enemies shooting at the same time. Especially if there are poison ranged enemies with the poison darts.
And they can block your escape by just surrounding you entirely.
Yep. Yeah. That's why two player was fun too.
But you could also jump over the small mm-hmm. guys. Mm-hmm. Especially if they were like little kobolds, you could jump over them, which was kind of cool. Which is weird for a dwarf, because that means that dwarf must have like a 5-foot vertical.
He's Michael Jordan.
to be able to clear those guys. Like he must have.
He's got ups.
So in line with the story, I guess to kind of transition into the story, what I want to talk about quick beforehand is the graphics.
They were good. They're visually appealing.
The weirdest thing about this game, and we're just going to address
the very first person you talk to,
and we're going to address the elephants in the room. Huh. They spent an inordinate amount of time on boob jiggle in this game.
They did.
Just
it's, somebody had to develop
it's
it.
Very strange.
Like, I don't know what hormones are in Baldur's Gate water, but they're huge.
And actually, in speaking of just kind of like arts and aesthetics and stuff like that, though, the voice acting for her and in general in the game is really good.
Oh, yeah.
If you decide to listen to it.
Especially,
I listened to
it. It's really good.
We didn't listen to it. I listened to it.
There's actually some pretty big actors in it, too. So Aelith, the bartender, who's the girl who has those elephants. What a weird euphemism. I'm not going to use that anymore. I don't like that. The character's name is Aelith. It's voiced by Jennifer Hale, who's the voice of Cortana.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm not questioning it. That's just really interesting.
I just want to double check to make sure I...
Whatever you say is gospel, Josh.
You go. Whatever. I mean, all the voice actors, even like the minor roles, were actually all really good. All the way through the entire game, there wasn't any cheesy bad guys or cheesy dialogue, and I did like that with the dialogue options.
Oh, no, so she is the voice of Elizabeth from BioShock Infinite.
Oh, well, that's significantly less impressive.
I liked Elizabeth, she was useful.
I'm
unlike
pretty sure
Cortana,
yeah,
Cortana gave you information.
No one gives a crap,
all right. But
I'm curious though, like, I need to double check with that. But yeah, I could have sworn she is the voice of Cortana. I'm going to actually look it up right now because it's going to bother me.
Okay.
No, not voice of Coraline.
Speaking of Cortana, we should probably play the Halo 2 games again and like actually finish those two-player things.
No, it wasn't Halo.
No, it was...
It was Gears of War.
Well, that too.
Yeah, I
was thinking
Jen
Halo 2
Taylor
as well.
Is the voice
that's
of
true.
Cortana.
We should do that, yeah.
Just to say we beat them and then never talk about it again.
Yeah, careful. You're letting everybody know that we have only made it to Halo 1 and throughout all this time.
Yeah, it's fine. No, Jen Taylor is the voice of Cortana, but Jennifer Hale has been in a lot of different things. Like,
I've heard her name before.
Like BioShock Infinite. There's also one of the ones that surprised me, a character named Jarek, who is a member of the Harpers. He's like he's like the thief. He's like the thief that's on the inside, that's part of the quote unquote good thieves guild, not the new murderous one. It's voiced by John Rhys-Davies. Gimli.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he...
Why didn't he voice the human dwarf? The dwarf fighter.
I think it's just the main character
didn't say anything.
He's Sala in Indiana Jones. That's the big thing I know him from. I could have sworn John Rhys-Davies is Gimli. I think so.
Again, what you say is gospel to us.
Exactly. But the thing is, the internet's forever and nerds are angry.
So, there you go. It's true.
Yes, he is Gimli. I was right. John Rhys-Davies is the voice of Gimli. Or he's not the voice. He is Gimli. He's Sala from Indiana Jones. He was also in some of the James Bond movie. He was in the James Bond movie. It's just crazy. Like, this dude's been in so much, and does a voice in this game, which I think is kind of crazy.
That's cool. I always like connecting voice actors together like that.
Right? And so I just think it's kind of crazy the talent they had on this game. Okay. And it shows. It's an early PS2 game. Like I said, it came out in 2001, so it's early in the PS2's lifespan.
And it works really well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It still holds up. I mean, I beat it in like the 4 or 5, granted, like we've been joking around, it was on easy, but that's the only reason I was able to beat it in like 5 days, because it's not like a long game if you're able to just plow through it. It only takes about 6-7 hours.
What takes it to be so long is the damage and the swarming, so you got to like pick a couple of them off, go back and heal, pick a couple more off, go heal. That's what takes forever in the game. But we were talking about the animations too, and the art and everything. And you can clearly see that they've got like one character structure, like a skeletal structure that they've applied to everybody. So they all move their hands in the same way, and they all like make the same motions.
They all look like they're related.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing that I hate about their animations in it is when the camera zooms in and you're seeing the face-to-face conversations with the NPCs, all of their hands just
animated.
Their arms don't move at all, but their fingers look like they're just curling all the time. They'll randomly have like two fingers pop out and then curl back in, and another finger on the other hand
out. It's called
bad programming.
Terrible. It keeps it interesting. Something to look at while they're talking to you. Rather than skipping through their text.
Than boobs.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That was so weird. Like, I remember I turned it on. Had to clarify that. Turned the game on, and then that came up. I'm like, well, that's a howdy-do. That's the first thing you see.
It's a game you got to make sure no one's around you when you're playing it.
I'm interested in this. Let's play.
You have my attention.
So let's talk about the story. The storyline is, there's three acts, and there's a through line through all three acts, but there's a story arc for each individual act, pretty much. The first one is all about the thieves' guilds warring with each other, and you pretty much investigate the sewers. So you get mugged in the beginning, and you're going after this thieves' guild to get your stuff back and for vengeance.
Mm-hmm. And vengeance.
You meet Aelith, the bartender, and she tells you, like, well, maybe you'd be able to get to them through the sewers, but, you know, we have a rat problem, so we can't get to the sewers. You can get to the sewers through our basement.
Classic starting quest.
Right? Oh, it was when I was playing it, was like, this unique. Is so D&D.
Yeah, you go from rats straight to kobolds, straight to like an orc thing. And
it was
like
orcs and goblins.
There's bugbears later on.
Yeah, bugbears, and then you got the classic and slimes.
And the lizards, yeah.
Yeah.
None of it was too groundbreaking as far as D&D goes. It was all within that realm.
No, but
crazy.
The mechanics each monster applied was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, and so the storylines, I would say, of the individual three things weren't all that good. I actually think the third act had a really interesting story, how you like the main evil villain at the end of act three is, I can't remember her name.
I barely remember either, because they just kind of like mention it at the very end. No, the mountains was second.
Eldrith. She was a general who worked for Baldur's Gate, who worked in within Baldur's Gate. Eldrith is her name. And she was the greatest general the city had seen. And when they were getting attacked by, I think, hordes of kobolds or something like that.
She wanted to go fight
them. She wanted to go fight them, and the city said no, and she defied them. But because of her hubris, all of her soldiers died. And when she came back, she was then cast out from the city and pretty much died as an outcast. And so then swore vengeance against Baldur's Gate.
Her hate brought her back to life. I'm like, is that all it takes to come back?
That's all it takes. Yeah. And her tower like exists in a dimension outside of their own type of thing. It's called the Onyx Tower. Mm-hmm. And you have to climb up the Onyx Tower. I really liked that character in general. I like the idea of all that, but that section was obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't remember the end boss. Like, she was such a,
she was so forgettable
at the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was really, she was just like, oh, right. That's it.
And yeah, then going back to the gameplay, I was just like, every boss in the acts is really hard leading up to that final boss. You're like, all right, everyone prepare. This is going to be rough. And you just crush your face in. It was over.
Yeah, especially because they give you a weapon 5 seconds beforehand. So there's a boss you fight before her, and he drops this thing called the Onyx Sword. And if you look at it, it's at that point in the game, it's not the best weapon in the game. Because I had better like bastard swords that you could like swing around.
But it clearly tells you with like flashing red lights, use this and hit her with it.
Yeah. Well, not for me. But the way I knew that you had to hit her with it is because I talked to an NPC outside of it before.
Yeah, exactly.
And he tells you, oh, maybe if you could use something that's made of her tower, yeah, she
exactly.
Can be
defeated. That's exactly what they say. And it's like, oh, let's see. It has
the Onyx Tower and the Onyx Sword. I think I get it. That was forged within the tower.
It takes off like a fifth of her life with every hit. It's just a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was super easy.
So it doesn't matter how you got to the end, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of lame if you think about it. Like, you want your final boss to really be a challenge of everything that you've learned so far in the game. Admittedly, in RPGs, there's not a lot of mechanics learning as the game goes on. It's more just experience.
Yeah, I'd like to rage a little bit in my final bosses, though.
Go for it.
However,
if it's a final boss, yeah. I'd like to rage at it a little bit, make it hard.
Do you remember? So, Mike and I were roommates for at least 2 years.
You
right?
Talk about Spyro the Dragon?
No, I was going to talk about Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yes!
both him and I played it around the same time, and holy fuck, the final boss of that game. Have you ever played Metal Gear Solid 1, Jamie?
No. I did a demo version for PS1.
We're
going to
blow your mind hole now.
So, the final boss of that game, you fight Metal Gear, and then you fight, I think his name's Liquid Snake.
He's your half-brother,
you know what?
Father, son's second roommate, something like that.
I never played the game, but I remember watching you guys beat it. You guys come down to like a fisticuff at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. That was bullshit. That was so unnecessarily
It's a PlayStation
difficult.
Game with not great mechanics and gameplay, because it's a PlayStation game. It's not quite there yet.
I actually think that game holds up really
well. It was
well.
Very good, but for the time, it's like, you want me to react how? The game's not ready for this, and it wants you to fist fight him.
I don't even think it's that I have an issue with. I think the fight with the Metal Gear, the giant mech suit, was in general kind of bullshit. But then
it's you against a giant machine. What are you going to do?
That's true.
And I don't remember how
you're going to stealth around it.
You're going to stealth around it and by blind luck win.
The final fight with Liquid Snake is bullshit because it's, I don't mind having the fisticuff fight thing. And it's very 80s movie action, like cliche. And I love that. I have no issue with that, but it takes so long to kill him. You spend so long punching him in the face, and when he knocks down, you literally have to cheese the boss, because you have to pretty much punch him. You have to get him in the center, punch, you know, do your three attack, you know, punch, punch, kick, run around behind him, so that way when he gets up, he can't block you because he's now behind you.
Well, he'll get up, have an invulnerability moment, and like uppercut you.
Yeah.
And so you got to just avoid that and then go
around. Well, if you run around before that and his back's to you, then you can punch, punch, kick before he does anything, and then you have to run around the other side. So you're just cheesing the final boss. It's not an actual show of skill.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just how long will it take for this to go on?
Yeah, if you try and like straight up fight him
for fucking ever.
If you try and straight up fight him with like blocks and dodges, he'll just whoop your ass.
It's so annoying. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless if you're really good at it, maybe, but unless you want to spend literally hours upon hours.
It took us like an hour and a half just for that one fight.
And that was with cheesing it.
Yeah.
Once we knew how to cheese it. So imagine someone who's never played before having to master that. Fuck that fight. I love that game, but fuck that fight.
But yeah, real quick about Spyro the Dragon, because I'd never actually beaten Spyro the Dragon in my younger years. Mm-hmm. I finally got it when we lived with Justin, and I raged
Who's
so
also
hard.
Been in the show.
I raged so hard at that game. People in the room were like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I'm just trying to beat this goddamn fucking game, and I'll be happy as hell."
Trying to beat this G-rated
game. That's right.
I think it's weird that you know you're playing a good game when you actually keep going after you're livid.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a game's bad and you get mad at it and you turn it off after one or two failed attempts,
it's like it's bad then mechanics, it's, not me.
Well, it's not even necessarily that. Maybe it could just be you, but maybe you're. But
it's
you're
never
also,
me. I'm perfect.
Yeah. It's more you showing that you don't enjoy this game
mm-hmm.
versus when you were playing Spyro, when we were playing Metal Gear Solid. It very much showed like we kept getting so angry, but we would not want to put the game down because mm-hmm. we wanted to beat it. That means we really liked that game, despite the flaws that each one had.
Yeah.
For PlayStation 1. Like right now, I'm playing through. Actually, when was this episode going to come out? I don't care if it's before or after. One of the other games that either I've already talked about, because I don't know when it's going to be released upon this recording, either I've already talked about it for the summer of PS2 or I'm going to, is Devil May Cry.
Yes, that was mine. That was my version.
And mm-hmm. I'm playing through that right now. And I'm awful at it. And I rage quit after one or two failed attempts.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to keep pushing through it. I'm barely anyways into it. And now that I'm under... Every time I rage quit and I come back, I have a little bit better mechanics understood. So it's not awful.
No, that game is fantastic.
That's what games are, though, is you get better at them as you play them. And then in the final boss, it's supposed to be a culmination of that. And as we're just talking about Baldur's Gate, it does not do that.
It does not do that at all. And I would argue Metal Gear Solid doesn't do it. Actually, you know what? No, I take
the
that
Metal
back.
Gear fight.
Metal
is,
Gear front does.
But the other one's not.
The other one's not. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the story, like we said, it's a through line between those three different acts. The second act isn't all that interesting.
Yeah, it's not that great. It's like a nice drag.
You go through a dwarven mine, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then once you get out of the mine, you have to go through this forest. Essentially. Once you complete the first act, you defeat the Thieves Guild, and then you go fight the Beholder who's controlling the Thieves Guild. He basically alludes that there's more people out there trying to take down Baldur's Gate. Mm-hmm. And then you see on a map the locations of the other two, and it's in the mountains, which I forget the name of the mountains. I might want to try to find that real quick.
I feel like the storyline's a little bit of a cop-out, in my opinion, just because they use portals just to make everything different. Like, they could have just said, travel there, but they're like, oh, no, you go portal.
Well, that's a magical, mystical thing.
Yeah, I know it's a magical, mystical. It seems kind of cheap, I guess, to me.
Well, you have to remember, too, that there's three acts. You kill the baddie at the end, the general, but the storyline's incomplete. Because it goes right into Baldur's Gate 2.
Yeah,
it's an incomplete story. Yeah, exactly.
So there's a cliffhanger ending, like you said.
You kill the baddie, but the baddie's already being controlled.
For those who have not played this, you find out the guy who helps you get to Eldrith's Tower, the Onyx Tower.
He's the bad guy.
He's working for somebody.
Yeah.
And then when you portal out of that, you end up in some dark forest with these evil looming figures just kind of creeping out
over
you.
Yeah, they kind of come out of the forest, and then the credits roll.
Yeah, and we'll tell you how Baldur's Gate 2 ends when it's not $150 to buy.
Yeah, once we all win the lottery.
Let me see. You know what? I'm curious. What is the current price according to price charting for that game? Because
Baldur's Gate 2?
For Baldur's Gate 2, yeah.
I just looked. It's $150 and or $80 depending on what condition it's in.
Yeah.
Really?
As long as it runs. It's still pretty pricey though because it was a rare game. I didn't even know they had a second one until you looked.
2004 game or whatever it came out. It's more than the price of a normal
game.
Well,
that I'm sure it's selling for that on eBay because I'm seeing a complete price on eBay for $19 right now for Baldur's Gate 2.
Buy it now. We'll do a podcast on it.
Done.
And then as soon as you go to it, it's still cheaper than $150. It's $65 plus $6 shipping.
We looked that price up immediately after we beat the first one.
Yeah, we're like holy crap,
4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, we'll play. And then they just announced pretty recently a third one. So we're like, all right, well, now we got to find a cheap number two to buy.
You can buy it loose for like...
Oh, lovely.
For... like $30.
Does the disc run?
According to this, it's $31.21 loose, $39.95 complete. But I don't think that's selling anywhere. Yeah,
find some sources for that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, one of my most frustrating moments with buying a loose sleeve game is I played Maxima 1 for the PS2.
Oh yeah.
Game was amazing. Fantastic. Got all the way to the end, beat the boss. Had a cinematic go through, my game crashed. Didn't ever complete the cinematic. I cleaned it no matter what. Would never finish cinematic. Never saw the end of it. And this was like prior to like YouTube, way back in early 2000. So I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I beat the game. I only recently found out a year or two ago that there was a cinematic that led to the real final boss that I never actually finished it. I was like, no. I finished it. I finished as much as I could.
But yeah, Josh, here's on Amazon. $155, $85. Or you can get the really sort of cheap
one. Why are you searching Amazon for...
I'm always cheap.
Literally, I'm looking at Baldur's Gate 2 Dark Alliance right now for the original Xbox for $15 plus $3.
There's your problem. That's Xbox. We're on PS2.
Oh my God. Beggars can't be choosers, bitches.
Of PlayStation.
Okay. PlayStation. Found one for $20.
Go ahead, buy it. I'll give you money right now.
I don't have money for it.
Quick, 35, subscribe.
35. Yeah, literally.
Subscribe to us so we can buy Dark Alliance 2 and do a podcast on it.
You can go to eBay and find it for stupid cheap.
I don't trust eBay. It's only been around for 15 years. I don't trust it.
Yeah, so like you're saying, the storyline is kind of overall underwhelming, but it does leave on a cliffhanger. I will say that the storyline feels very D&D, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It feels like there's a lot of interconnecting storylines through NPCs and later events in the game, and that's exactly how D&D is. Mm-hmm. You in D&D, you're supposed to listen to every NPC, kind of have a general idea of what they're saying. So when
We're bad at D&D.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't listen to me when I do the NPCs.
No. And even in dungeons, too, like there's a lot of stuff. I remember we would complete a dungeon, and you're like, yeah, there's like 5 storylines in this dungeon, and you didn't do any of them.
Mm-mm. Well, I like passing through.
I like listening off the things you've missed, like the secret rooms and the items and the people. But that's always fun. But with this one, I can tell you that even though the overall story of Dark Alliance isn't fantastic, I mean, it's all right. It's pretty good. The personal NPC stories are good because in each area, each act, there's a slew of either side quests or main quests, and they're pretty detailed. If you actually listen to them and talk them through, they give you all the detailed, more information than you need to complete them. And the voice acting is good and their personal stories are good. And that's kind of really where it engages you. It's just one-off stories. Why am I bothering with a side quest? Oh, because of this. It's actually important.
They actually have good characters in it.
Yeah.
And each one is... I did a lot of them in the first zone, but there's one where a woman is trying to find something in the crypts. I forget what exactly
she's
trying
to find her boyfriend, who's part of the old
one. One is the boyfriend who you find out later is the... Yeah, that's actually a perfect example. That's not the one I was thinking of, but a woman's trying to find her boyfriend who's part of the Thieves Guild, and when you go in...
And she's deeply actually concerned about him, and then they talk about how he was offered a lump sum of money to do this one simple task so they could finally get out of the... And then you end up following the lead down, and it's actually part of the main quest. You find out that he's got this orb that he unveils, and it turns him into like a statue, or it turns into like the undead. It kills him.
It turns him into the undead, and it starts raising all these undead in the church.
And it actually leads into it real good if you get involved in what she's saying, and then get to that part in the game. It's like, oh, well, this is an actual legitimately tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. I think like I think that describes the story perfectly. The overall story's fine. It's not bad. It's not great. But the individual character stories, very simple. They're very short. You just have a very quick character arc, like we just described with that one. But it makes you feel for the person because it's you. It seems relatable. It seems like these are real people, even though very clearly the boobs are looking very strange on half of these female models.
what? I have nothing to add to that. You're correct.
It's still like it. Why add so much detail to that? It's almost whatever.
They play to their audience. They knew who was buying this game.
Oh yeah. Especially when I did my Metal Gear Solid episode, me and my friend Pete were joking around that there's a shot in Metal Gear Solid 1 where the camera just is fixated on Meryl's ass.
They're really all about that in that game.
Yeah, and it just lingers on it. And
they do it
in
all four of them.
It's really weird. I haven't played all four yet. I actually need to play the second one and the third one. All of them. I have to play all of them. I've only ever really played the first one.
Yeah, but yeah, they do it in every single one of them. They're just like, we know who's buying this game. Here's some TNA.
So yeah, do you guys have anything left to say on the story or the art or just some kind of overall things, and then we can go into final impressions. Like, do you think this game still holds up? But anything to say on that before then?
Yeah, I pretty much covered most of it. I think, like I said, I think the storylines, it's D&D. If you play D&D, you kind of follow the storyline, you know it.
It's something to move you forward. Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. I'll say, though, this is an excellent, in an era where there's not that many like couch co-ops anymore, this is a great two-player game. This is fantastic. Just sit down and spend an afternoon. It'll take you a couple sessions to play through. Especially if you're doing two player on normal, then it's just like
what are you implying, Jamie?
I'm saying like you're fantastic, but I'm saying that easy mode you can just go ahead and skip that, unless you're on Daddy Can I Play mode. But it's a good couch co-op. That's it. Just grab a buddy, sit down, play it through. It'll take you a couple times.
Make a friend.
It's actually a fantastic way to spend an afternoon just two playing it. If you actually want to share the same screen, be in the same physical place.
And watching you guys play, the two screen thing wasn't that intrusive. Like,
no, they did pretty well with it.
Sometimes when you have two players sharing the same screen, it can be kind of wonky. Mm-hmm. But they actually did a really good job with it.
They did. It's not split screen. So for people who haven't touched yet, it's not split screen. It's all on the same large screen, so everybody can see everything. You're kind of kept within a camera constraint where if you guys start walking away from each other, you will be eventually stopped. It'll zoom
X-Men
out.
X-Men Legends, same way.
It'll stop you at a certain point.
And speaking of couch co-op, they made an X-Men Legends 3 that came out for the Switch.
It did, yeah.
Haven't tried it yet, but I'll need to at some
point. It better be the exact same way that all the others are. If it changes, I don't want it.
That's right.
Well, I'll have to get some feedback on that. So,
also, I don't know the storyline. So,
would you say that's your final impressions of it? It still holds up, and it.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We just tested it for a little bit. Just to remind ourselves, and we could play it through again.
You have to not really care about graphics too much because it's the PS2, and
even the graphics
it's still
it
really
look that
good.
Bad.
No, they hold up, but if you're like a graphics, who's like, oh, I need to be able to see everything. You're not. It is what it is.
They're gonna come up to you, and they're gonna hit you, and you're gonna have a general idea. Yeah. And like I said earlier, you have to really pay attention to the character models attacking you because they do have like a little bit of a charge up with your block timing, and it's hard. It's not easy to just like block if you're using not a shield, but it holds up graphically. The character models actually do look really good, even though their skeletal animation is pretty predictable and recycled. But it looks good. The game flows easy. The camera is controllable by either player, so you guys can rotate it and it's no problem.
Yeah, I'd play it again, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good place to end it then. It still holds up. So if you have not tried Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, definitely go check it out. It's for a bunch of stuff, including, like we mentioned, the Game Boy Advance. I wouldn't try that version though. So yeah, Jamie, Micah, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything you want to plug at all?
Nope.
No, not at all.
Fair enough.
Not at all.
As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also email me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can check out other than just listening, you can check out my Patreon, patreon.com/StillLoadingPod. Even just $1 a month will help the show grow. And you can also rate and review the show on iTunes or whatever podcast app you use. And I think that should be it.
I'll tell you what, if anybody wants to have Koval review another two-player game. I'm willing to carry Micah through anything that's two-player. So
anything two-player. Free, I love getting carried.
Feel free to let us know. We'll drag our butts through it.
I'm picturing this now. You're going to get married one day, Micah, and it's not going to be your wife or any... It's going to be Jamie walking you through.
Yeah, I'll carry him down.
We've already decided. The door.
Okay. Because you're just so used to it now.
Absolutely. His shoulders are broad.
check out the Podbeard Network, the podcast network I'm a part of. And podbeardnetwork.com, and that should do it. So, Jamie, Micah, thank you.
Thank you.
And I will see you all next time.